Bending Light, Chapter 15. Heart skittering as she stepped from the narrow street into the square, Hermione forced herself to take a deep breath. Two deep breaths. But she couldn't tamp down the nervous excitement that seemed to be pulsing just beneath her skin, even if she was annoyed by it. She stopped and leaned against a wall, raising her eyes skyward and asking herself the same question that had been circling endlessly in her mind since the night before. Was this a date? A friendly outing? An obligation being fulfilled? She had absolutely no idea. She blew out her breath. She didn't quite know what had come over her last night when she'd asked him up. Something about seeing him again. His relative warmth and the ride being so exhilarating. It had been pure, dumb impulse. Of course he'd said no, but then he'd said yes. Sort of? She sighed. She wished Lavender had come home so they could have talked it through. But Lavender hadn't appeared as of this morning, although Hermione had some idea of what she would say. Throw him down and take what you want. You deserve it. What's the worst that could happen? Hermione snorted. What was the worst that could happen? Rejection? Incredulity? Ugh, she shook her head. No, she wouldn't be risking that. He was the one who had blown hot and cold. Well, warm and cold. He was the one who had been calling her a mudblood until a few months ago. And he was the one who had invited her today. He could bloody well make a move if it meant anything more. Until then, she'd be playing it friendly, but cool. She pushed up off the wall, balling her fists and setting her chin, and began to stalk in the square, until she almost ran directly into something.
Whoa, whoa, whoa!
An amused voice and a flash of blue eyes.
What's the hurry?
Theo grasped Hermione's upper arms and held her steady. She stiffened and he immediately dropped his hands and took a step back, his face shuddering.
Theo! Hi!
Hermione heard her own voice sounding overly loud and high.
Hello,
he said. Hermione noticed with surprise that his face had gone pink.
A beautiful day, she said.
He rubbed his neck and looked away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For some reason, Hermione was highly flustered at the idea of Theo knowing that she was going to meet Draco, which was absolutely stupid. She pushed the thought away and opened her mouth again.
So, listen.
They both spoke at the same time.
You go, she said.
Coward.
No.
You.
He inclined his head. She took a deeper breath, fully expecting something else inane to issue from her lips. But then she stopped and looked at him. Her tense shoulders slumped.
I just wanted to say, I really hope there are no hard feelings, she said, reiterating her words from the olive grove and hoping they meant something.
After the shit I pulled last night,
Theo squinted into the distance.
I should be asking that of you.
Oh, Theo.
Hermione's hand went out.
It was fine. I mean, if anything, you might want to check with Francesca, but...
Yeah, I'm headed to see her now.
He pointed to his car, which Hermione realised they were standing next to.
Throwing up, then passing out, not the best way to end a date.
A quick, humourless smile crossed his features. Hermione smiled too, catching his eye and making him look at her. He spoke again, his voice a bit tight.
So, you're going to meet him?
Yeah, he's finally making good on that promise to take me out on the bike.
It was Hermione's turn to look away.
Well,
Theo raised his brows.
Have fun. Be safe.
Hermione nodded.
Okay, well, I'm off. And got to eat crow while the sun shines.
Theo cracked his knuckles in an exaggerated way and put the key in his car door.
Theo, Hermione lurched forward and touched his sleeve. He turned back.
Can we still be friends? She said in a rush.
Please, I've missed you this last week. I'm worried that I've ruined things.
He paused for a long moment, his fingers still resting on the car door handle.
If anyone ruined things, it was me, he said finally, his voice soft.
He reached out and took her hand, holding it in both of his, looking down at it and then back up at her.
I'll be better, I promise. I need a little time to be an arse, apparently.
He shook his head.
But our friendship is more important to me too. I won't fuck it up. I've fucked up too many things.
She flipped her hand in his and grasped it tightly before letting it go.
Okay.
Theo turned and Hermione started to walk on, but then he pivoted back again, propping his elbow on the car roof and cocking his head.
Hey.
Yeah?
Did he ask you to go on the bike today? Or did you ask him?
He asked me.
Hermione felt her face go warm again.
Okay.
Theo nodded thoughtfully, then tapped the top of his car twice and started to get in.
What? No.
He held up his hand, a shadow of his old roguish grin emerging.
Nothing more for me. You two will have to figure it out.
He got in and started the car, revving the little engine and grinning at her.
See you.
He waved and then drove away. Hermione stared after him. What the bloody hell did that mean?
So, I don't think I actually want to drive it today.
Hermione looked worriedly down at the gleaming hunk of steel between them, and then back up at Draco.
Is it okay if I'm just a passenger again?
His brows drew together.
Of course. You just seemed like you wanted to before.
Did I?
Hermione laughed weakly. He tilted his head.
It's possible I baited you the smallest bit.
I fucking knew it!
She jabbed a finger at him and he laughed. Hermione felt her insides do a slow flip.
Fuck, but he was gorgeous.
She looked down suddenly and gripped her helmet. Was she really about to get on the back of the bike and press herself up against him again? In the jeans and the leather jacket and the ruffled hair. Last night had been a special kind of torture. The first time she'd really touched him. And they'd gone straight from 0 to 60, hadn't they? Her memory flipped to him holding her against him at the club, and then to the ride itself. At least now she knew something of what she was getting into physically. Mentally was another story, of course. Her mind travelled back to its earlier track, and she began fretting again about Draco's intentions and motivations. And her own. Did she want to give him another chance to be friends? He seemed to be trying, even if the sudden change was a bit mysterious. And was it even wise in the first place? He was, and would remain, Draco Malfoy, with all the attendant complications. Despite what her body or hormones or whatever it was seemed to want. The best course probably was to play it cool, try to protect herself, hang back, even if her natural inclination was to push and test and make something happen.
Well, come on then.
He was still smiling as he swung a leg over the saddle and looked back at her, eyes still glinting silver with amusement. It was then that Hermione admitted to herself that no matter what, she was, well and truly, fucked. He put his helmet on and she snapped out of her reverie, gingerly lifting the helmet he'd procured for her and her low ponytail and climbing onto the bike. He revved the engine a few times and Hermione jumped. He turned his head and flipped up his visor. She could see a gleam of white teeth behind it.
You should probably hold me around the waist again. If you don't mind. It was much easier last night after you did that.
Well then.
Right.
Hermione gave him a thumbs up, like a complete prat, and he nodded once, eyes crinkling, before he turned around again and eased the bike onto the road. She slid her arms around his waist, tentatively and a bit stiffly. At least he was wearing the leather jacket today. Last night, with only the T-shirt, she'd been able to feel every movement of his lean, muscled waist, and his warmth, spreading from his body to hers, an intensely intimate exchange. Hermione took a deep breath in, realizing the moment she did that it pressed her breast against his back. She felt him flinch and she straightened back up, also conscious of where and how much her inner thigh was touching his outer one. This was going to be just excruciating, wasn't it? She tried to refocus her attention, looking around as they cruised down the winding main street of the village. It was a gorgeous day and people were out, walking, sitting, chatting. The sun glinted off the shop windows and made the ochre stone of the buildings glow. The sky was an almost impossible blue. Hermione felt a familiar surge of affection for the scene, followed by almost immediate stabs of melancholy. It was mid-July and she had, at the most, just over a month left here. She would miss it terribly. Almost involuntarily, her hands, which had been resting lightly at the sides of Draco's waist, clenched. She slipped them further around him, as if to pull it all closer. He turned his head briefly, and she tapped him twice to let him know she was okay. He nodded, then faced forward again, as Hermione willed herself to relax. She resolved then to enjoy the day, enjoy this time in this place, with him and whatever he wanted to give her. She took a breath in and out. They were just coming off the small town roads now and onto the large, busy main road. Tightening her arms in earnest, Hermione moulded herself to Draco's back as they threaded between lorries and cars, which suddenly seemed much larger than before. The warm wind whipped her hair out in a stream behind them, and she shut her eyes when he leaned forward and pushed them even faster. Eventually they turned off from the heat and exhaust of the highway and began climbing. Hermione could almost instantly feel a drop in the air temperature, and she lifted her head to take in their surroundings, which were morphing from the golden hills and sparse trees that ring San Cipriano to a more closely wooded landscape. Like yesterday, she noticed that being on the bike, she could smell everything, feel everything in a way that didn't happen in a car. It was as if they were a part of the landscape rather than just passing through it. They moved suddenly through a deeply shaded part of the road, a little stream of water trickling down the rock at their right side, and Hermione could taste the change in the air, how it became moist and mineral and cool. Suddenly they burst out of the shade into the full sunlight, and started up a steep incline. Draco shifted gears and the engine hummed low with effort. As they travelled, the woods gave way to great swatches of evergreens, and the hills turned to peaks. Hermione looked to their feet and could see a massive vista of craggy mountains, their steep sides covered in deep green firs. She gasped involuntarily. It was so beautiful and unexpected. She knew Italy had skiing in high elevations, but she'd never seen them before. Draco seemed to sense her delight, because he inclined his head towards the view. She squeezed him lightly around the waist to convey what she was feeling. "It's so beautiful. Thank you for bringing me here." And he nodded several times over his shoulder. After that, Hermione truly relaxed. The feeling of being in sync with him, the bike, their surroundings taking her over. The road, still climbing, became a series of switchbacks, requiring them to lean first to one side and then the other. Hermione felt as if her very limbs and muscles had softened into a curving stream of energy, or maybe light. She wondered if this was what people were on about when they waxed poetic about riding brooms. Finally, the road straightened out again, and they started to see some signs of civilization. Small houses, a timbered building that looked like it belonged in an alpine scene, a bus stop, and even some other traffic. Draco slowed the bike, and after a bend in the road, they were suddenly cruising through a sun-dappled village. Hermione saw a cafe bar, similar to hers, and a larger restaurant with outdoor seating dotted by cheerful red umbrellas. There was a tabaciera and a fountain. But almost as soon as she'd finished looking around, they were out of the town and climbing gently once more through thickly wooded hills. Draco didn't pick up speed, though, instead dropping gears and slowing down. The road curved one more time, then the steep bank to the right of them gave way, and they were in amongst a group of stone buildings. Most were low and humble, but a large church spire rose from a central point of one of the clusters, and Hermione saw a sign, welcoming visitors to the Comunità Monastica di San Benedetto. Draco pulled off the road and down the driveway next to the sign, and parked the bike in a shaded spot. Cutting the engine, he pulled his helmet off, and Hermione quickly slid backwards and did the same. He looked over his shoulder, a brow raised.
Well?
Brilliant, Hermione said, a huge smile taking over her face. Absolutely brilliant. Those mountains, Draco, and that sweet little town. I could feel the road and the temperature changes. And when we went around those curves, it was so exciting. He smiled too, with real warmth, then swung off the bike and stood.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Hermione pulled her leg over and he held out his hand to help her up. I didn't just enjoy it. I loved it, she said, looking up at him, still smiling. He looked down at her for several beats before they both seemed to realise what they were doing and stepped away.
I'll just secure these, Draco said, holding out his hand for her helmet.
Hermione gave it to him and took a few steps, then turned around in a slow circle to take in their surroundings, trying to ignore the various flutterings and pulses that were zipping through her body. Breathe. Focus. The air was warm and quiet, almost hushed. It smelt of green things and the dust of the gravel parking lot. A bird trilled in the distance, and the sunlight dancing over her face was a vivid, dazzling yellow. Beautiful, Hermione breathed.
Isn't it?
Said Draco, his footsteps crunching as he approached. He'd taken off his jacket and the white of his t-shirt was almost blinding in the bright light.
I wasn't sure what to expect when I first came here, but it's lovely.
Hermione shrugged out of her jacket too, wanting to feel the sun on her shoulders. How many times have you been here?
A few, maybe 3 or 4. I like the quiet and it's usually at least 10 degrees cooler up here.
Hermione nodded and looked around. And what are we looking at here? Obviously that's the sanctuary. She pointed to the tallest building. But what are the other buildings? Draco squinted and turned to face the street across from them.
I believe those are the living quarters and the garden. I think the brewery and the distilling operation are over there as well. On this side,
he pivoted back around,
along with the sanctuary are the apothecary and...
His eyes glinted as he smiled down at her.
The library.
Oh, are we allowed to go in? Hermione rose up on the balls of her feet. His face broke out into a full grin. Hermione sighed inwardly.
Yes, we are,
he said, stepping closer to her.
Although my previous forays have revealed the collection to be 99% boring muggle religious texts.
Hermione tried to swat him on the arm, and he laughed and twisted away. I still want to see it, she said.
Of course. And there are some rather pretty illuminated manuscripts out for viewing. You'll like those.
He started walking her towards the larger of the low buildings that sat to the left of the church. They entered, and after a few minutes, Hermione had to concede, and he was right. Most of the books weren't particularly interesting, especially when one compared them to the contents of the even most basic of wizarding libraries. But the illuminated manuscripts were beautiful, and she spent some time enjoying them.
This one reminds me of an alchemical text in the Manor Library.
Draco murmured over her shoulder, as she studied an intricate manuscript that gorily illustrated the story of Cain and Abel.
A bit gruesome, both of them.
Hermione snorted a laugh, then instantly looked around to make sure they hadn't disturbed anyone. But the room seemed to be empty. "You have things like this in your family library?" she asked, twisting to look up at him.
"Malfoy Manor's library is more extensive than Hogwarts, Hermione," he said,
the smile playing at the corners of his mouth, growing as her eyes widened. "Oh," she breathed. His smile turned into a smirk, but then the humour left his face and he looked away.
"I wonder if I'll ever see it again."
Hermione turned all the way around and her hand went out. "Oh, Draco." She rested her fingers on his forearm. He looked at her for a beat and she saw such sadness in his eyes. But in a flash it was gone and he stepped back.
"Do you want to see the church?"
"Is it allowed?" Hermione had not been raised in a religious household and wasn't sure of the rules.
"I think so."
He lifted a shoulder.
"I always look in and no one has ever told me not to."
"Okay." They turned and Draco ushered her out of the door. Hermione thought she felt the whisper of his palm on the small of her back. After a brief look into the chapel, in which several monks seemed to be praying, they ducked out again and walked back to the courtyard. A monk passed by them and nodded silently. Hermione nodded back, a bit surprised that things like monks existed in real life and not just on the pages of historical text. Funny thought, coming from a witch. Once the man had moved away, Draco looked down at her.
"Do you want to see the apothecary? It's rather interesting."
"Absolutely. Is it like a museum?"
"No, it's a working concern. They sell soaps and perfumes and honey. A liquor too, I think. All made here."
"That's amazing! Is it this building?" Hermione pointed to the third structure that ringed the courtyard, a little smaller and older looking than the other two. Draco nodded and put his hand on her elbow, a half smile lifting his features.
"Come on. I hope this one funny chap is working here today. I'll be curious to see what he makes of you."
Hermione wrinkled her brow at him. "Okay, what does that mean?" He flicked his brows.
"You'll see."
His friend was behind the counter. Excellent.
"Buongiorno,"
Draco said, as he and Hermione stepped into the dark panelled room. He heard the intake of her breath as she took in the space, and whipped her head to look at him, eyes bright. Her reactions to things were so fucking charming. She never seemed to hide her enthusiasm or take on board air. It was all just there on the surface, the joy she took in the world. He felt the corner of his mouth lift up, and they had another one of those moments where they just looked at each other. Draco was first to break eye contact this time, because he noticed the little man behind the counter turning and standing from where he had been bent over a display.
"Buongiorno. Oh, you've decided to come down and visit us again."
The man's eyes twinkled.
"And you've bought a friend, clearly another of your kind."
Hermione shot Draco a quick look that clearly said, "What the fuck?"
"Does he... no?" she started.
"No, no."
Draco bit back a laugh.
"You'll see. He's just a little odd."
"So what are you looking for today? Some Angelica, Echinacea, and maybe a salve to soothe the blisters from your harp playing?"
The man laughed at his own joke, and the sound was so merry that Hermione smiled, but her expression was still very puzzled. "Harp playing?" she said softly, her eyes darting from Draco to the clerk. But then she rested her gaze on Draco, and for a moment he could see realization dawn. He raised his brows twice, and she broke into her own peal of laughter.
"It fits! Oh, it fits!" she said in English. "I mean, your looks at least."
She turned to the man and said in Italian, "Thank you, sir.
But I'm no angel, and he certainly isn't. She jabbed a thumb behind her at Draco.
Well, a beauty like you around, who could be?
The little man said smoothly, sending Draco a mischievous look.
Well worth descending from heaven for, my son.
Draco inclined his head and tried to ignore the blush that stole over Hermione's cheeks at his remark. She murmured something polite to the man in return, and then went off to examine a shelf of lotions. Draco ambled over to the honey and picked up a jar of the blackberry. Would he bring it to Theo this time? He was still rather angry with him over his little performance last night. He sighed. Can't decide. Hermione had appeared next to him.
I usually bring one to Theo when I come here. He loves the stuff. I'm trying to decide if he was too much of a shit last night to deserve it.
She frowned. Let me get it for him, she said softly, placing her hand over his on the jar. He looked at her and then down at their hands. His heart gave a funny little leap and she pulled back. Unless you want to, of course.
No, go ahead,
he said, wondering what the gesture to Theo meant, and hating the thread of jealousy that snaked through him. Surely last night showed that there was nothing going on between them, and Draco shouldn't fucking care anyway. I'm going to have to get some for Lavender too. She would adore this place. I'm sure she'd be pestering Theo to borrow his car as soon as she hears about it. Hermione bustled away, and Draco walked over to chat with a friendly clerk, giving him their canned story about being university students and over to study Italian for the summer.
I like my story better, the old man said, squinting at Draco and then at Hermione. And I maintain there's something about you, both of you.
Draco was startled. He'd heard of muggles who had more of a sense for magical people, but he'd never met one. Hiding his surprise in a chuckle, he looked away when he heard Hermione call his name. Will you help me? She asked, looking over her shoulder in a winsome way that he sighed very quietly.
My sympathies, the little man said softly, but you don't stand a chance.
He laughed again as Draco tilted his head with a pained smile, then walked away from the counter. He approached Hermione and she held up her wrists. I want to buy one of these. Will you help me decide? He realised she was standing near the perfume oils again and his heart sank. She was going to make him smell her, wasn't she? Fuck.
All right,
he said, trying to keep his face very neutral.
And what are the choices?
This one, she held out her left wrist, is sweet orange, jasmine, geranium and mandarin. She read from the bottle and turned it over. It's called Angel Share, so he'll like that. She smiled in the direction of the clerk. Draco steeled himself before grasping her wrist lightly and bringing it towards his face. He kept his eyes on hers as he breathed in deeply, careful to keep from actually touching her and trying to ignore the sudden intense urge to place his lips against her skin. The scent was lovely, light and not too sweet.
Nice, he managed to choke out. And the other?
She paused and looked down before she held out her other wrist. This one is called... She looked at him and wrinkled her nose. Tutti Frutti. It's orange, bergamot, lime, mandarin, grapefruit and vanilla. Draco took her wrist.
That's a very silly name,
he murmured, as he sniffed again. It was stupid of him to speak, because his lips did brush her wrist this time. So lightly he might have imagined it. Except he knew by her quick indrawn breath and sudden movement that he didn't. He stepped back instantly.
The first,
he said, partly because he preferred its more sophisticated notes, but mostly because if she wore the second, he'd constantly be reminded of this moment and how hopelessly aroused he was.
I'll just wait outside while you pay, he said,
hoping he didn't seem like an arse.
Waving to the old man, who gave him a very knowing look, he headed for the door and pushed through it. When he got outside, he moved down the wall and leaned, dipping his head back against the rough stone and letting the sun blind him. He closed his eyes and focused on breathing. He'd known today would be difficult in many ways. He just hadn't prepared himself for how delightful it would be in others, and how much more difficult that would make things. He curled a fist and tapped it lightly against the wall. This was why he'd been practicing distance, because when he was with her he had no self-control. "You look like an angel more now than ever, with that bright light in your hair." His eyes fluttered open to see her standing in front of him, giving him a gentle smile. Thoughts of kissing her flooded his mind again, although it would probably be disrespectful for the monks. Yes, the monks were who he was really worried about right now. Suddenly she turned and leaned against the wall herself, tilting her head and closing her eyes. He was reminded of last night at the club, when he'd had to physically restrain himself from reaching for her. "Oh, that's nice," she said. "I can feel the warmth from the stones." Her lips parted and she smiled again.
"Yeah."
He closed his eyes again against the vision of her.
"Do you want to go get some lunch?"
"Oh, yes. In that little town we passed."
"Yes. San Benedetto."
He kept his eyes closed.
"The restaurant is good. Or we can get a panini and go and sit on the bench if it's free."
"The bench?"
"Yeah, it overlooks the valley. Good views."
He heard her push up and face him again. "I like the sound of that." He took a deep breath and opened his eyes.
"Then let's go."
Hermione crossed her legs and began unwrapping her sandwich. "I think good view may have been an understatement," she said, looking to her side at Draco. He ducked his head and nodded, chewing and swallowing a bite of his panino.
"Possibly."
He took a swig from the bottle of mineral water they'd bought and shot her a quick smile. Hermione forced her eyes away from him and out to the vista again. Peaks layered into the distance, going from a deep green nearby to a shadowy purple further away. A light haze lay in the valley, and the deep blue sky stretched over all of it. Above them, a huge leafy tree tossed gently in the warm breeze. "So fucking beautiful," Hermione said, with a shake of her head. She bit into her sandwich. She heard Draco sigh next to her. "Are you going to miss it too?" she asked, not taking her eyes off the scenery. He didn't answer for so long that she turned to look at him. He was gazing out over the valley too. She saw his chest rise and fall.
"Yes,"
he said, and there was a lot in the one syllable. Regret and sadness foremost, though, she thought. "Do you know where you'll be going?" Hermione asked. "Next. After." And now it was her turn for regret and sadness. He shook his head.
"I don't, although I'm not sure why they wouldn't just leave me here. Even if it wouldn't be the same without..."
His voice trailed off. Then he turned to look at her, clear grey eyes meeting hers. Hermione felt her breath catch, but then he looked away again.
"Probably a safe house? France? I don't know."
He shrugged and picked up his sandwich.
"You'll be going back to Hogwarts, though. That would be strange."
A ghost of a smile crossed his face, and he sent her a slightly playful look.
"Or your new Slytherin mates. And suddenly best friends with Lavender Brown. Whatever will people say?"
She balled up a napkin and threw it at him. He caught it and flicked his eyebrows up at her. "At least you won't be there," she sallied, although her words also brought an instant stab of pain in her heart. He really wouldn't be there. She wouldn't see him.
"True. You've definitely escaped something there," he was saying,
still light and teasing. He leaned back and stretched.
"Imagine if we sat and chatted like this in the Great Hall."
"Definitely burst into flame," Hermione nodded. trying to mask her inner turmoil with a silly face. Draco chuckled.
Us, all the rest of the student body.
Oh, the rest of them. We can handle it. We've proved that this summer.
Yes, between me calling you slurs for 6 years, your friend's deep and abiding hate for me, and the fact that I believe you did hit me in the face once, I think our friendship might come as rather a shock to most.
He turned fully to her on the bench, crossing his arms and smiling at her in such a way that Hermione had to actively stop herself from climbing on top of him. They sat for a few beats while the mischief faded from his face, replaced by something much more dangerous. She cleared her throat.
So, are you still reading Infinite Jest?
Her voice was slightly strangled, and she realised she had smashed half of her sandwich even flatter. She loosened her grip and continued.
I had to create a chart to remember who all the characters are.
He laughed shortly.
Yeah, I gave it up once we,
He turned to face forward again.
Once you weren't keeping me going.
Adorably, a brush spread over his cheeks, and Hermione was annoyed with herself for finding it adorable. He was the one who'd stopped bloody coming round.
Yes, well, it's just getting good, she said, shaking out her sandwich paper and folding it into aggressively smaller squares. You should pick it up again.
I should.
The words held a kind of quiet urgency, and Hermione stopped her hands in their jerky movements. She didn't look at him, though.
And the music? She asked, a bit hoarsely. She could tell he had turned to her again.
He sat back. She thought he ran his hand through his hair.
It's great, yeah. I like it all. But, as you predicted, I really like the bends. I've been listening to it a lot.
Don't leave me high. Don't leave me dry, she murmured.
That's one of my favourites.
His voice was very low. It's even got a motorcycle in it, she said, finally meeting his gaze. He smiled fleetingly, but his eyes were sombre.
Yes, it hits home in a lot of ways.
Hermione ran through what she knew of the lyrics in her head and looked at him, tilting her head.
Draco?
Mm-hmm.
He had looked out over the view again. His jaw in profile was beautiful. She wanted to run her fingers over it, and then into his hair. She closed her eyes and opened them.
What started changing your mind? When did it happen?
He opened his mouth and breathed out a sigh, then paused a long while before he spoke.
I started to have doubts at the end of last year, when my father went to prison. I was so angry.
He tilted his head back.
And I started to think about who I was angry at and why.
She nodded and he shot her a glance.
Make no mistake, my focus was definitely on Potter and the Order at first.
He turned forward again.
But the more I thought, the more I watched my mother dealing badly with my father's absence, the more I started to think about who was really to blame, who had actually put us where we were. When did it start? And why? And once those doubts crept in, other cracks started to form too.
He shoved his hands in his pockets.
And it helped that Blaise was starting to feel the same, for his own reasons, but with similar effects. We started to talk about it, and then we started to read. With my father gone and my mother at loose ends, no one was watching anything I did. We even went into the Muggle world a few times, just to see.
And what did you see?
Just...
He blew out a breath.
People. Being human.
He stopped for a moment and gazed out at the view before continuing. Hermione stayed silent, just listening, sensing that she needed to.
And then they came, after the breakout from Azkaban.
A shudder passed over his face and he shifted up, resting his elbows on his knees and clasping his hands loosely between them.
That was when things became really bloody awful. He was very angry at my father and looking to punish him. But he still needed the Malfoy power and money. And he wanted the manor. So he couldn't kill us outright. But he's very clever and quite creative.
Hermione made an involuntary sound of sympathy, and his eyes flicked to hers.
So that's how I ended up with my task. Dumbledore.
A very humourless smile lifted on his lips.
Of course, it was meant to be impossible, and my early failings carried commensurate punishments.
Oh, Draco. Hermione's heart seized and her hands shot out. Did he hurt you? Did he? His look stopped her, his eyes like ice chips.
No, not me.
Hermione's brain worked quickly, landing almost instantly on an image of a cold, beautiful face framed by pale gold hair. Your mother, she breathed. He nodded once, then his shoulders slumped. Her hand went out again and she gripped his forearm fiercely for a moment before letting go.
So that was the end of it for me.
He shifted back up.
After that, it was all fair game. Anything I'd been taught or led to believe. I read more, talked to others. Theo a little and of course Blaze, who were feeling the same. Tried to distance myself from those who weren't, although I had to be careful not to blow my cover, of course.
His eyes went to hers, and his eyebrows went up.
I watched you a fair bit. If Muggleborns were meant to be inferior, how were you one of the cleverest people I'd ever known? That story you cooked up for Umbridge in our office that day? Dumbledore's secret weapon?
A real grin flashed her way, and Hermione snorted. One of my better moments. She inclined her head, and he actually laughed. She felt a sort of desperate gladness that she'd been able to lift his spirits.
Can I ask you something?
His eyes slitted out towards the view. She sensed a tension in him suddenly. Of course.
Why are you here? I mean, why are you here with me? Willing to be friends with me? After all the years of my shit.
It was Hermione's turn to be silent for a long time, her brain cycling through 100 different replies. Finally, she said, I suppose because I think people can change. Or rather, I truly believe it. He flicked a glance to her.
Do you?
Absolutely. If I didn't, what chance would there be for me? She crossed her arms. Even if... when... Voldemort is defeated, there will be a reckoning, and I have to believe that many of the people who were on his side can be made to see things differently.
Why? Why not just let them all rot in Azkaban?
She turned to him fully. Because of this. Right now. He looked at her for several moments before they both leaned back against the bench and stared out at the view again. The light was going golden as the sun sank down towards a ridge of the tallest peaks. The earlier haze had solidified into long streams of mist decorating the valley. Hermione felt lighter, somehow, than she had in a long time.
We should probably go, he said after a while. I don't want to go down the hill in the low light, and your shift is starting in, what?
An hour and a bit, she said, glancing at her watch with a sigh. She paused and looked at him, his lovely profile again. This was such a lovely day, Draco. Thank you. He turned to her, his eyes travelling over her face, something she couldn't quite read in them. Hermione felt heat start up her neck and hoped it wouldn't redden her face in an obvious way.
No,
he said.
Thank you.
Draco walked to the flat, tossed his keys down on the kitchen table and took off his jacket. His mind was very full, going over and over the events of the day. He was conscious of something bubbling up within him,
something reckless and possibly joyful? He knew he should tamp it down, but he wasn't sure he could. He certainly didn't want to. He was so caught up in his thoughts that he failed to realise Blaze was in the living room, until he came face to face with him.
Fuck!
Draco started back as Blaze popped up from where he'd been concealed in one of the armchairs.
Sorry, mate. Thought you knew I was here.
Blaze held out a hand.
I did call out when I heard the door open.
God, I didn't even hear you. Draco shook his head.
Lost in thought, I guess.
Blaze's dark eyes flashed at him with a knowing look.
What are you drinking?
Draco asked, flipping his chin at the glass in Blaze's hand as he walked to the kitchen.
This is just Pellegrino.
Blaze got up and followed him in.
You want something stronger?
Draco asked, his head in the fridge.
No, I'm only stopping in.
Something in Blaze's tone made Draco straighten up and really look at him. Blaze's face was somber.
What's going on?
Fear curled in Draco's belly and he thought immediately of his mother.
There was another breakout. From Azkaban.
Blaze said quietly. Draco's blood ran cold.
Who? What happened? Mark Nair, Lestrange, Dolohov.
Blaze grimaced.
Several others. They just disappeared into thin air. The Ministry is hushing it up because they don't want people to panic.
Fuck. Draco slumped against the counter, sick fear curling his guts. Hermione's face flashed before his eyes and his heart seized too. The idea that they were out there, getting stronger.
I know. He's getting stronger. And it feels like there's no one doing anything about it.
Blaze's words seemed to echo Draco's thoughts.
Does the Order know? Presumably. Mum's source was someone close to that side of things.
I assume they'd have said something to us if there was any immediate danger.
Draco's thoughts were racing as another wave of fear broke out over him. He suddenly felt very far away from the earlier part of the day.
Anyway, I just stopped in to tell you. I actually have to go. There's a do at my mum's tonight and I'm going. Seems more important than ever now.
Blaze was speaking again. Draco straightened up and gave him a look.
I hope you're being really fucking careful. I am. You know I am.
Blaze gave him a smile that was more of a grimace. He pushed away from the counter and started walking towards the hallway.
Oh.
He stopped and turned back.
How did it go today?
He asked, his tone lighter.
How was the ride?
Images and impressions flashed through Draco's mind. It had gone bloody brilliantly. Every minute with her had been a fucking delight. Even that conversation on the bench, which had been difficult for him. But now it had all the flavour of something careless and dangerous.
Good,
he said softly. Blaze's eyes narrowed.
More than good.
Draco shook his head and looked down. Blaze sighed.
You've got it bad,
he said.
And she does too, despite that little episode with Theo. Could see it plain as day last night.
He squinted at Draco and tilted his head.
But you're going to go all noble and self-sacrificing again, aren't you?
What little episode with Theo?
Draco's eyes snapped to Blaze's. All thoughts of Death Eaters and Azkaban suddenly swept from his mind. Blaze froze.
I thought he told you, the way you were looking at him at the club.
Told me what?
Blaze looked away.
Just the disco last weekend.
He waved his hand nervously, in a very un-Blaze-like manner. Draco did not like the feeling that was suddenly surging through him.
What happened at the disco last weekend?
He said evenly. Blaze tilted his head back and closed his eyes.
They just kissed is all.
He breathed out heavily.
I don't think it went anywhere. You saw him at action last night. You saw how little she cared.
The antique clock on the mantel began chiming the hour. Blaze's gaze whipped between it and Draco.
Fuck, I have to go or I'm going to be late. And I really can't be late for this. But look.
He stepped forward, grabbed Draco's upper arm and peered into his eyes.
Don't let it bother you, okay? It was nothing. I'm sure of it.
Draco was silent. He didn't trust himself to speak at this particular moment. Blaze made a sound of annoyance.
Right. I'm coming over tomorrow and we're having dinner. Do not do anything stupid before then. Please.
No. Draco wouldn't be doing anything stupid. He would just be putting phase two of the distancing plan into action immediately. Not only did the danger feel clear and present again, but his reaction to the thing with Theo. He noted his nails biting into his palm from his tightly curled fists. It was ridiculous. He was in far too deep. Damn it.
Draco,
Blaze said, glancing at the clock again.
It's fine, Draco said,
forcing himself to be utterly calm.
Nobody owes anyone anything. It's better that way.
He told himself he believed it. It certainly hadn't been giving Hermione any reason to think he was interested the last few weeks. He had no right to be angry or hurt. And fortunately, that didn't seem to be preventing the feelings themselves. He pushed off from the counter.
You better get going. I'll see you tomorrow. I'm off at 6, so come by around 7. I'll make pasta.
His voice sounded as if it were coming from far away. Blaze nodded, then heaved one last sigh before he started walking towards the hall and the back bedroom.
Nothing stupid.
Draco heard him call faintly just before the crack of apparition sounded. No, Draco thought. He wouldn't do anything stupid. In fact, he'd be very, very smart. The timing of this was actually proprietous. He'd weakened and let his thoughts move into dangerous directions today, and this was a reminder to nip that in the bud and keep more to the course he'd been on, which had worked fairly well until he'd broken his own no-contact rule. To protect her. Protect himself. Besides, Hermione had the right to kiss whomever she wanted. It wasn't like Draco even knew what he wanted from her. To be her boyfriend? How totally absurd. What had he been thinking? He went back to the fridge, took out a bottle of beer and opened it, then tipped it down his throat, drinking almost half of it in one go. He wiped his mouth and stared unseeingly for several minutes, reliving moments of the day almost in spite of himself. What hadn't he been thinking? Suddenly he raked his hand through his hair. Gods, he'd been such a fucking idiot. They'd all be leaving in a month anyway. He should be focused on that. He would focus on that.